Get the best quality paints from Dutch Boy for all your projects at Menards. MaxBond Plus exterior paint and primer in one is designed to stand strong against extreme weather. It provides max adhesion, hide, and performance, and repels rain in just 90 minutes after application. And with Dutch Boy's high-performing paints that last, transforming your home has never been easier. Save big money on Dutch Boy paints and head into Menards today and get your paint project started.
Save big money at Menards.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Huntington Bank Studios, located at East River 9, here's Brian McDonald and Big Sarge.
Hey, what's going on, y'all? Hey, listen, Brian, before we even get started on this show, you know the one thing I like about being out here at East River 9?
There's only one thing?
Well, outside of me being here, I mean... I really like the scenery. I'm not a big golfer, but I like watching golf.
Yeah, I could get with that.
Yeah, so I like being out here. And another thing, well, you know what's so special about today, Brian?
I got an idea. Well, why don't you enlighten me, though?
The real Killer Bees.
That's right. Killer Bees are back.
The real Killer Bees.
I was trying to get Sarge to do the old Killer Bees open, but I didn't know if you wanted to do it.
You do, how does it go?
I'm trying to get you to do it. You're not going to talk me into it.
No. If you do it, I'll back you up. Listen, hey, I got your back if Jeremy comes at you.
Jeremy's not. There's no 0.0% chance Jeremy's listening. I can say anything I want to about Jeremy, although the text line will probably rat me out. That's what they do. No, I was seeing if you would hit us with a... Hey, H-Town, hey, how you doing?
No,
see, I knew you were going to have my back. You set me up.
That's you know what that sounds
it
like?
It was corny, I know.
It sounds like eating unseasoned chicken. That's what it sounds like. It sounds like raisins.
No flavor?
Raisins in the potato salad.
Oh, I thought you were about to say raisin canes.
Hey, listen.
Which is flavorless.
Listen, Brian, if we invite you to the cookout, right?
Okay, all
just
right.
Just bring plates. Cups, sodas.
I'm not allowed to bring food?
Bring sodas.
No, that's insulting.
Like name
that's
brand.
Insulting.
Not Big K.
I wouldn't do that to you.
Like bring like Sprite. No.
Yeah.
Coke. Like definitely Sprite. Black
yeah, the people that bring
Sprite.
Like the Big K or the Dr. B, like those, no, they're out. They can't come to the next cookout.
Hold on, Brian. They bring the bring the no brand type soda.
Yeah.
And stick their hand in and get a Coke.
Yeah.
I slapped the hand. Hey, you did not bring that.
You can only take what you brought in.
Right, and nobody wants your green bean casserole.
No.
At a cookout.
No.
Once again, you tuned into, what can we call this?
I mean, Killer Bees 2.0?
The Killer Bees 2.0 right here at East River 9 Out, live at Birdie's Ice House. Hey, nope. Brian, you know what? I can't wait till Sunday. And normally when you hear that, that's because people will be like...
You excited about the World Cup final?
No, I'm just saying, like, Sunday, you know, most people are like, they're excited because they're ready to go to church. Or, you know, during the NFL season, they're ready to watch NFL football. Let me tell you why I am so happy for Sunday. Because finally the World Cup will be over.
I knew something hater was going to come out of your mouth.
It's not hater. I'm just tired of it, Brian.
What?
I'm tired of it.
How does it affect you whatsoever?
Because.
If you don't want to watch it, turn on Netflix.
I can't help it because.
Turn on Hulu. Turn on Paramount.
I don't even watch it. Well, I did watch the. I ain't gonna even lie. I watched the. I wanted France to win the other day.
I thought
so
you were all in
watch
on Team Congo.
We
were at Watson's House of Ales.
Hey, Brian, have I told you I'm fickle when it comes to the World Cup?
I guess I can.
Like, I started out with Congo because
Congo was your team.
Yeah, because it's
Wakanda
okay to
Wakanda forever.
Wakanda forever, right?
Yeah.
But then I seen the fans that came from Cape Verde, and I felt like I should have been a part of that.
Oh, okay.
So,
so you're hopping crowd to crowd.
Oh, of course.
So like, you're probably also big on Team Brazil?
For sure.
Yeah.
And now Spain.
Spain, yeah.
Yeah. Argentina.
Argentina's got some talent.
Hey, listen, whoever wins this game, I'm with their fan base, right? But, Brian, I'm ready for it to go, man. I'm tired of it flooding my social media. I'm tired of seeing everybody on it.
You could just mute the words World Cup and you won't see it.
What fun is that? I just don't want to see it.
Well, I'm telling you how you could not see it. Instead of hating on others, just mute it for yourself.
I'm not hating on others, Brian, but, I mean, I'll put it like this.
Okay.
What is it, every 4 years?
Yeah, every 4 years.
Right, and so... After Sunday, by Wednesday, nobody's going to even remember who won.
That's not true.
You know what it's like? It's like when the
this
Giants.
This is a major matchup. This is like
a major matchup for who?
You know what this is like? I'll give you the football comparison.
Okay.
The real football comparison. I'll cater this towards you. This is like the Bucs-Chiefs Super Bowl, Tom Brady versus Patrick Mahomes.
No way.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Not only are these two world powers who have won World Cups, but it's Lionel Messi, the greatest of all time, Tom Brady, versus the next greatest of all time, Patrick Mahomes. In this case, it's Lamine Yamal, who's a 19-year-old kid who actually has a photo as a baby with Lionel Messi holding him.
I've seen that.
Yeah. So this is literally the current GOAT versus the guy who think who will replace the GOAT in two world powers.
So
this is exactly like Bucs-Chiefs Super Bowl.
So you said the guy from Spain.
Yeah, Lamine Yamal.
Would be Patrick Mahomes.
Yes.
So is he going out and getting, like, players from the youth soccer league? Because that Bucs-Chiefs Bucs-Chiefs Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Patrick Mahomes' offensive line were stalkers at Kroger.
Yeah,
wait.
They were bad. They were bad.
Kroger they got gangster. Let me not mention Kroger.
Fight.
Kroger will fight. Let's say
this is stalkers at Whole Foods.
Because they weren't even good to be at HEB.
No, these are like stalkers at Whole Foods.
Not even Trader Joe's. Maybe Food Town or Food Lion. Like, those offensive linemen were terrible.
They're so soft, they would have been shopping at Sprouts, I think.
Like, they're online stalkers.
Yeah, online, yeah.
So, I can't do that, Brian. I just can't. So, my thing is this, right? My thing is, what I was about to say.
Legit, I don't think if you can get into this one, I don't think you can get to it all.
So, I put it like this. It's kind of like how people don't remember who beat the Patriots in Super Bowls. They just remember that the Patriots lost.
I mean, it was the Eagles and the Giants.
Right.
See? I
mean, I
remember.
For us, though, because this is our business. But for the casual average fan, you'll be like, hey, who won the Super Bowl? And I don't even remember what Super Bowl it was. They'd be like, was the Patriots in it? Yeah.
Tell me the year.
Try me out. Right. Huh?
Try me out. Tell me the year.
Oh, I don't know.
Just give me a year.
2017.
That was Patriots over Falcons.
2018.
That was Eagles over Patriots? I think so.
See,
I remember.
Hold on. Let me find out you Rain Man, Brian. Are you Sports Rain Man, Brian?
With some things.
Like what?
Mostly things like this, like former world, like the years teams won World Series or Super Bowls, things like that.
Oh, for real? Who won in 1993?
1983 was the Cowboys.
1994.
The Niners.
1995.
Cowboys.
That's all I need to hear. Once again, we're broadcasting
live. You're just trying to say the Cowboys a couple times.
There was
a modem there? All right.
For sure. I had to, Brian, because you know how many people listen to this that hate the Cowboys. And later on in the show, I'll tell you how I feel like Caitlin Clark, guard for the Indiana Fever.
Okay.
She is like the Dallas Cowboys of the WNBA.
She can't win nothing?
No. I wasn't going there, Brian. But I thought you were a Cowboys fan.
No, that's AJ.
Oh, AJ is
I know we look alike, but.
Yeah, for sure. I can see the melanin now. Wait, who's your team again?
Texans.
Yeah, so like I said, like no wonder you mentioned not winning anything. But later on in the show, we'll get to how I feel like Caitlin Clark is like the Dallas Cowboys.
All right,
I look forward to the WNBA. But Brian, I know that we're going to dig in a little bit deeper, especially when it comes to the Houston Texans, because we're getting closer and closer to training camp.
Thank God, man. This is completely anecdotal.
Mm-hmm.
This feels like the longest offseason I can remember as a Texans fan.
Because we're
No. It's because of four interceptions in the first half. Like, ever since that game ended, what, third week of January?
Can we talk about that real quick?
Go ahead.
Let's talk about that before we go.
Yeah, go ahead.
Because you look at – you said four interceptions. You blame all four of those interceptions on CJ?
I'd have to go back interception by interception. I certainly blame the one that got pick six by former Coug. I forget his name. All he had to do was just ground. Like, I know his receiver fell down. All he had to do was ground into Harrison Bryant, and the play is over.
Yes, you're right.
I definitely blame that. Marcus Jones, that was the name I was thinking of. So I blame that one on him. I'd have to go back and look at the other ones to see where I put the blame. The rest are kind of fuzzy. But certainly the one that Marcus Jones took back to the house, I put on CJ.
For sure. And I think that, you know, if I had to be – the lawyer for C.J. Stroud in this case, especially when it comes to that interception. I would look at it and say, yes, he should have grounded it. But then you go back and you look, do you see how quick that defender is in his face? Because I think it was a quick hitting play. So that
it was.
Defender,
he had nowhere to go with the ball.
Yeah, but
he
should have
threw
it away.
Decision. Yeah,
you're right. You're right. And I'm not taking out, like, I'm saying if I was a lawyer, but since I'm not, yeah, he should have threw that away. But two of those interceptions, Brian, the first one that he threw was supposed to go to Christian Kirk. That was just a great catch. You remember that awesome catch that the Patriots defender made?
Yeah.
He only got one knee in, but they said one knee is equivalent to 2 feet.
It is. It is.
So he was throwing the ball out. Christian Kirk is watching. That's one. Another interception that he had went straight through Xavier Hutchinson's hands.
Because he's a blocking tight end.
But you know that one.
Yeah, no, I'm with you.
So that's two of the four. So everybody always say, C.J. Stroud threw four interceptions. Semantically speaking, yes. But he really only threw two interceptions.
True, but I not to go full Brock Osweiler with every interception has a story, which it does, but I think the quarterbacks, the more you throw, the less it becomes about who else you can put the blame on, because you're still kind of putting yourself in a situation to where it could happen.
Yeah.
Like the quarterbacks who constantly turn it over, lead the league in turnovers, yeah, they may have some that were the receiver went the wrong way, maybe the receiver dropped it, or the DB just makes an amazing play, but you're still putting yourself in that situation too much.
But can you still blame them, though? Like, the first interception,
To be fair, I need to go back and watch the other three.
Yeah.
I do remember what you're talking about, though, with the one knee in bounds. That was just a great catch.
That was a great catch. And
but if you're trying
one
to throw away, that's one of those things. Put it, leave no doubt, right?
Yeah, he was throwing it.
Leave no doubt.
Well, and when you look at it, you
don't
see,
give the guy the opportunity to come in with one knee. Leave no doubt.
You also see Christian Kirk stops.
Yeah.
And so, like, I know you can't, you know, you don't want to put the blame all on the wide receiver, but I mean, you also got to have the wherewithal to be able to say, hey man, you got to keep this thing going and move it. But you know, we're about to go to the break. When we come back, we'll definitely jump into more of the Texas training camp that's about to start here in about just a little bit over a week. And Brian, I want to tell you
soon enough.
I want to tell you why I think that CJ Stroud not being on the top 100 NFL list in 2026 is a good thing.
Okay.
You listen to the Killer Bees 2.0, Brian and Brian with Eyes. We'll be back.
Inside the Mobile Huntington Bank Studios, located at East River 9.
On ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Now back to Brian McDonald and Big Sarge.
Welcome back to the Killer Bees 2.0 out here broadcasting live at East River 9 from the Birdies Ice House. So, wait, who do we have back in studio?
Colton.
Hey, kid, next time, Colton, I'm pretty sure that you're a great guy. Cannot wait to meet you, but, hey, like, the next time.
I hear a yeah butt coming.
Yeah, next time, you know, you're producing and Sarge is on, can you ask Brian or Sean if you could borrow their aux cord? Like, I mean.
You didn't like the bump music?
The beat was cool, but, I mean, look, at least bring me back in with some type of rock music, something, anything.
You got a request?
Hip hop always.
Okay.
But,
well, I mean, Sean's Page, which I think that song was. Yeah, I would say that sounds like that was from Sean's Page.
I don't listen to Future, so I'm definitely in this last album.
What decade are we looking at?
Oh, I'm 90s. 2000.
Oh, so not like 90s West Coast stuff. Yeah.
No, not West Coast. I'm Southern. I'm Southern hip hop.
So Bun B.
Outkast. Okay. Jeezy.
All right.
You know, T.I. for sure.
Atlanta, Atlanta guys.
I mean,
yeah.
You know, all UGK. Right. Or, hear me out here. You can bring me back with some country music, too, now. I'm a huge country music fan.
All right, well, you got your assignment, Colton.
For sure.
Country
for
music
sure.
And 90s Southern hip hop. That's what Big Sarge wants.
All right, so before we went to the break, we were talking about how the Houston Texans were, about to start training camp. Just about a little bit over a week. I will be at training camp. I will be. you know, reporting live from training
Sweating
camp.
Sweating your ass off?
Oh, my goodness. I'm not looking forward to that. But if you stay ready, you don't have to get ready. And that's why I've been in the gym a lot, man, making sure that this year.
Get a lot of cardio in?
Yeah, I don't want to be the fat guy at training camp.
Well, I mean, I love John McClain, but I think you're fine.
I love John McClain.
John, if you're listening, I love you. But I think you're fine.
John lost a lot of weight, too, though.
Yeah, well, good for him.
Yeah,
good
but I don't want to be the fat guy because players judge you. But
oh, well, yeah, of course. So those are the best athletes in the world.
Right.
Everybody's fat compared to those guys.
Hey, man, look here. I just don't I want to be the one that be like, hey, Sarge, you looking good. Like, appreciate that.
You don't
want
to be the guy out of breath while you're trying to walk to the other side of the facility.
Man, I'm telling you right now because that sun leans on
you. Yeah, yeah.
Right? And when you're trying to move around. And also, the fans are going to be at a lot of the open practice. Is there a lot of open practices?
Right.
Yeah, you don't want to be the guy caught on video. Like, hey, look at Sarge fat ass over there. Look at him.
The guy who took a knee.
But one of the things that that I'm looking forward to seeing is quarterback C.J. Stroud and how he operates this offense, what it looks like heading into year two of this offense, year four of him being in the NFL. DJ and I have talked about this a little bit, but Brian, I they got this top 100 list that they do every year, right? And the top 100 list of 2026 is currently being put out slowly. You know what I hate about it? I'm just like, hey,
how
man,
slow
just,
it is.
Yeah, just put it all. I don't want to be glued to trying to figure out who's
I hate
on
the
this
two
list.
At a time.
Yes.
Like I'd be fine if they just put it all out at once. But I get that they're trying to drag it out for clicks. It's a long off season. I get that. But at least when they're doing the TV show with it, they would do 10 at a time.
Yeah.
At least give us that.
Right.
Yeah. Like the two at a time is just. It's torture.
You know what? If I was working in their social media department, I would probably tell them, I'd say, hey, man, here's a way to do it. Put it out. Put position groups out. Like, put a position group out. Put whatever number the position groups are. Put that position group out, where they were ranked or whatever the case may be, and then let people talk about that for a while and build them up to.
That's
I would
fine.
Leave the quarterbacks last because the quarterbacks.
Because quarterbacks probably going to be number one anyway.
Right, and so I would. My last group would be the quarterbacks. The group before that would be the wide receivers. The group before that would be the running backs.
See, I would say edge rushers because edge rushers will get bumped up.
Okay.
I'm fine with your idea, though.
No, but that's good, too. So, but they put this list out every year, right? And they put a couple of the quarterbacks out already. We're going to talk about one here in just a second that plays in the AFC South that's on the list. But, Brian, I don't want C.J. Stroud to be on this list.
Well, I think I got good news for you. He's not going to be.
Hey, look, I hope that he does. I hope he's not. And the reason why that I hope he's not on this list is because I want him to be pissed off going into the season. I've never seen. Listen, I've been around CJ since he was drafted by the Houston Texans. I've never really seen. I've seen CJ like pissed off for different reasons, but I've never seen him like pissed off in the game. I've never seen him pissed off, you know, just playing in general. I want to see a mad CJ Stroud in 2026. I want him to be pissed off. I want him to take that criticism. I want him to digest it. I want him to know how it feels, like how eating bad mac and cheese feels. So I want him to digest that, and I want him to use that as fuel. I want him to see how your peers feel about you, CJ. I want you to feel how everybody's doubting you, how everybody's criticizing you, how you haven't been Will Anderson Jr., your draft partner, was drafted one player behind you in the draft. He got extended already. He's the highest paid non-quarterback in the NFL, and he was drafted after you. Bryce Young is on that list. Like, you're sitting there and right there in the middle like, okay, so what about me? But I want him to have that feeling to whereas you ain't got your money yet. The critics are just steady taking shots at you. And you have a lot to prove. Do you think that I'm wrong here?
I don't think you're necessarily wrong. I would worry that if it took this to motivate CJ, I would worry that that's the case. Like, if the thing that got CJ motivated to finally take a step beyond what we've seen the last couple years is, oh, they didn't like me on the top 100 list. Like, I would prefer a guy that was more of a self-starter and didn't need the kick in the ass of being left off the top 100 players to someone who did. Now, it can't hurt, I guess, so I don't mind if he has some extra motivation and takes it from it. But I'd be a little worried that if this is what it takes to really, you know, make CJ angry and to take up his preparation and his study and all the things that come with improving up a notch, then I would worry about that a little bit.
So with that being said, when you're in your field, right, when you're here, you don't want to be looked at by your colleagues as one of the best. You don't want to be looked at as out of the amount of players that play in the NFL, your peers didn't think that you were, you know, you weren't good enough to be in the top 100. Like, that would motivate me.
I hear what you're saying. I think I would rather have a quarterback who is motivated just to be the best and okay with where the perception landed because of that. Like, if he just goes out and his motivation is I'm the best, then the accolades of the top 100 list, the accolades of the postseason awards, all those will come with it.
Yeah.
The motivation should just be the best. Like, I don't want CJ to be like, oh, well, Bryce Young's on the list and I'm not, so now I got to take it up a notch. Like, you should already want to take it up a notch, right?
Yeah.
You could want both things, but if literally, like, taking the topic quite literally, like, if it's this that turns him into someone who's more motivated, that would be concerning to me.
I just look at it as, you know, if I was CJ Stroud, I'm just putting myself in CJ's shoes. If it was me, I'm looking like, oh, y'all don't respect me, so if you're playing against me, you just think I'm food.
Yeah,
oh,
but
yeah,
what,
you don't think that I'm...
But wouldn't you already be motivated to be the best without having to see Bryce Young on the list and you're not?
So what I'm saying is that's extra motivation. You don't have me on this list.
Extra motivation you could sell me on.
Steady doubting me online. You're steady doubting me. The critics are. And I'm talking about fans and analysts. And I haven't gotten paid yet. So this not being
that
on this
be
list.
The biggest motivation.
The being on this list adds to it. So I'm thinking, I'm saying that maybe I should put it this way.
All right.
I feel like not being on the top 100 should push him over the edge. Like, if he was right there, this should be like, he should walk in there and be like, they should be like, hey, CJ, hey,
they
man.
They should put it up in his locker.
F y'all.
All the quarterbacks.
He should,
really just Bryce Young 98. That's the only thing that needs to be put up there.
He should walk into the first regular season game against Buffalo and see Josh Allen over there and Josh run over there. Hey, how you doing? Hey, bro, get the F out of my face, bro. I don't want none of it. Don't
so
talk
he's not
to
gonna
me.
Try to big brother him like he did Caleb?
Which, by the way, he didn't give Caleb bad information, but
no, it's just like it just is aged poorly. But like of the things you've mentioned, like the thing really that should be the extra motivation for CJ is not the players saying you're not top 100, because clearly Lamar Jackson's already on the list. You're not on it, right?
Yep.
You're not going to be above Lamar, so you're not on the top 100 list. What should be the extra motivation for CJ is, I know they're not saying this publicly, but the Texans not paying you is them saying you're not worth it. Because we've seen with Nick Caserio, with Stingley, with Jalen Petrie, with Nico, with Will Anderson, with Azeez Al-Shaair, like, they pay guys they think are worth it. Now, obviously CJ could go out and prove he's worth it this year, but as of what he's put on tape currently, with everything he's shown them through the first 3 years of his career, Nick Caserio's action says he's not worth a top-level quarterback contract. You looking at me with slanted eyes,
yeah,
like you don't believe me.
We're going to take a break, Brian. When we come back.
Actions speak louder than words, man.
Yeah, so that's why I'm going to talk about Nick Caserio's
actions.
All
right, let's do it on the other side. All right.
You're tuning into the Killer Bees 2.0 live out here at East River 9 at Birdie's Ice House. Woo! Make some noise for Big Sarge. and Brian.
Crickets.
We'll be back.
Listening to ESPN 97.5.
You're back with Brian McDonald and Big Sarge
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Huntington Bank Studios located at East River 9.
Hey, welcome back. We're broadcasting live right here at East River 9 at the Birdie's Ice House. Colton, you totally redeemed yourself, my guy. You totally redeemed yourself.
I was a little worried there because he didn't go southern rap there. He went Tupac.
Yeah, I
but we're good.
Yeah,
good.
I'm a huge Pac fan as well. So yeah, he's definitely good. I'm Big Sarge. Hey, wait a minute. Why do they keep saying your government name? You don't have like a like a nickname or anything? Yeah.
I mean, people call me B-Mac, but I wouldn't want that in the intro.
You don't want your full government name?
No, I don't really care.
Nobody's definitely. Yeah, look, you're definitely.
Honestly, I don't really care.
So that lets me know you don't have warrants and no child support cases
that's
out there.
Factual on both accounts. That's true. Yeah.
Now, before we went to the break, we were talking about you made a point and you said that
Texans don't love CJ.
Yes,
they don't. They paid him already.
CJ should have been motivated. Should be motivated by the fact that he hasn't been paid yet, and Nick Caserio has.
What just went down?
The camera.
Oh, the camera just hey Lexi. Lexi, our camera just like completely fell over. Sorry about that.
So
social media extraordinaire Lexi will be our camera repairman.
Yeah, and I'm gonna tell you like this, man.
I think it's other way. I don't know. I don't even know.
Other way.
Yeah, it was other way.
Yep.
It might be dead. I don't even know. We might be on a graphic right now. This is riveting radio.
And that lets you know
we're
that
talking
this
about
is,
our camera angle.
Hey, look, man, this is live. This is what happens when you're live. This isn't recorded.
No, clearly. Because we would edit this out. We would edit this out.
For sure. But before we went to the break, you were talking about how if Nick Caserio had confidence in C.J. Stroud, he'd have paid him already, right?
Yes.
And you used the example of, like, extending Nico.
Of everybody. Jalen, Stingley, Will, Aziz.
Okay. And so now you're waiting. And, I mean, if we're keeping it honest.
Daniil.
Quarterback is the highest paid position in the NFL.
Factual.
So that's a lot of money that they're going to have to give C.J. when it's time to give him the money, right?
Yeah, of course.
So I can see a little bit of hesitancy on that issue. But if we keep it at a buck, not paying CJ isn't indicative of who he is or how he plays. It's also an indictment of Nick Caserio, because it's Nick Caserio who went out and bought those bad groceries as far as that offensive line is concerned. It's Nick Caserio who went out here and got and put this bad product in front of CJ Stroud.
That is a spin, Sarge.
Really? Okay, so last year they got one player that they've had. They got one player they had from last year.
I'm not defending Casario's drafting of offensive linemen.
Oh, where's Lakin Tomlinson?
He's trash.
Oh, where's the what's the guy that got from
Ed Ingram has been good.
Ed Ingram is good.
I would say Ursary's been at least serviceable.
Okay, so that's what I'm saying. But where is the other guy that they went, the one that they bought from Jacksonville?
Oh, Cam Robinson, yeah, that didn't pan out.
No, that's who you. No. That's who you.
I'm not defending Casario's track record of picking offensive linemen. He has way more misses than hits. But if you want to say it's only because of the offensive line that C.J. Stroud has took a downward turn since his rookie year, like he didn't have a great offensive line his rookie year, he still played well.
Well, that's because he also did. They didn't really have a lot of film on him, and he did a lot of that stuff on his own, but. I mean, to his credit, let me put it like this. There were better offensive linemen. Titus Howard is a really good offensive lineman.
Yeah,
Laramie
Tunsil, yes. Titus, I think, is average.
Is a very good offensive
Tunsil
lineman.
Tunsil for sure is great.
Right? And so you had those to protect him. He's not letting CJ go down. In his rookie year, like I say, I always look at it as, you know, these quarterbacks, they come in, they have a phenomenal rookie year. That's because there's not a lot of tape on them. When he went into his second year, okay, now things starting to – you know, change a little bit. But when you look at the offensive line, that was Nick's doing. When you look – well, not all of Nick's doing. Let me not put it all on Nick Caserio. But that was a lot of his doing, him going out. Because one thing that people don't realize, Nick watches every training – I was going to say training camp. Nick watches every practice. Every practice from the end zone in. He watches every rep, every drill. So he's watching.
Because he's a computer. He's a cyborg.
So he's seeing, right? So you're watching and you're seeing this in real time.
Yeah.
And if you're watching this and seeing this in real time, if we as the media could see, hey, man, over the last two, about the last 2 years, this offensive line has not looked good. And if you got to keep moving Titus Howard up and down the line, then that's a personnel problem. Who's in charge of personnel?
It's Caserio.
And then you go back and you don't want to pay him the money yet, but yet you put him – and he's going into his fourth year under his second. Like, I don't think that people realize how difficult that is.
But both things can be true. Like Caserio could have done a terrible job picking offensive coordinators and picking offensive line, but we can also have the separate conversation that C.J. Stroud's plays decline. Because, look, obviously it would be much more advantageous for C.J. to have a good offensive line. But good quarterbacks that you want to pay top of the market, make bad offensive lines look good. We've seen that forever with Tom Brady. We've seen that with Joe Burrow. We've seen that with Lamar at times. Great quarterbacks get rid of the ball quickly. You can make average offensive lines look great and bad offensive lines look average.
Are we calling Joe Burrow great already?
Yeah, he's been to a Super Bowl.
That doesn't make him great.
He beat Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs at Arrowhead.
But that doesn't make him great.
He's a great quarterback.
No, he's not great. He's very good. We can't call him great yet. He doesn't stay on the field long enough for us to get a bigger sample size.
Yeah, he's injury prone.
Of course.
I'll give you that, of course.
So we can't say great. Great is Patrick Mahomes. Great is like.
Okay, where's your great drop off? So Mahomes, who else
is
there?
So we're talking about current quarterbacks right now?
Because I would put Burrow in that top tier, but. What's your top tier?
So,
top tier, I think, would be great. Everything else is a tier down.
Well, there's only one great quarterback in the league right now.
Mahomes is it?
That's it. He's great. And then after that, you get very good. That's when you get the Josh Allens.
We have a difference on how we would grade
him.
Who are
you putting in the same tier as Patrick Mahomes?
I'd put Allen and Burrow. And
What has Josh Allen done? He's 7-7. He's been to two AFC championship games. Yeah. I'll give him that. But he's 7-7 in the playoffs. And did we not watch him give away the game this postseason? It was
his fault. He did. But,
watched him play.
Not to be the Allen defender, but we also saw in I can't remember if it was the divisional round matchup or an AFC title game matchup where they went toe-to-toe with the Chiefs. And only lost because they didn't get the ball in overtime. Overtime rule that has since been changed.
That was such a crybaby way of handling that. Hey, man, the rules is the rules. If you don't get the ball back, then guess what? Tell your defense to play better.
No, I mean, for sure, but we can't put that on Allen.
If he got
him to overtime and then.
Well, if he'd have played better, he'd have got him to win.
Who won? Okay, well, if Mahomes had played better, they would have had to go to overtime.
We could
do that all day.
When you look at the accolades of current quarterbacks right now, who's matches up to Patrick Mahomes?
No, of course. If we're only doing resume, it's only Mahomes.
That's what I'm saying. So that's great. Burrow is not there.
I guess I look at it more like talent versus resume, but those are two different conversations,
I
guess.
I mean, because if you're going to put that, hate to use this quarterback. I hate to use him. But, hell, I've seen, more of Justin Herbert being in that tier with Burrow.
Herbert hasn't won a playoff game. Herbert hasn't won a playoff game. Burrow's been to the Super Bowl beating – not only has he beat Patrick Mahomes in Arrowhead, he beat Josh Allen in Buffalo.
Did they go to the playoffs last year?
No.
The Chargers didn't go –
Chargers did. They didn't score a touchdown against the Patriots. They got knocked out in the first round.
Last year
before that, Herbert threw four interceptions against the Texans.
You're right. But I'm saying last year, did they go to the playoffs?
They did.
Right. And so do you know who his offensive line was? Those three chairs in front of us.
Yeah, no, their offensive line.
Caitlin and Lexi.
I think you accidentally made my point about C.J. Stroud.
What's that?
He had no offensive linemen, still got to the playoffs, and had a better statistical season than C.J. Stroud.
Hold on. So now
accidentally made my point.
So now you're making my point.
Won
the AFC South 2 years out of his first 3 years in the league. He won the AFC South 2 years. He's won three playoff games. He's won three consecutive playoff games.
Did he win the Steelers game? The defense won the Steelers game.
So, wait now. Hold on now.
Defense won the Steelers game.
Well,
they had 6 points going into the fourth quarter.
It doesn't matter.
He had six points.
He's won.
Or
on
seven
his resume,
points. It might have been 7-6. I don't remember.
On his resume, he has a win. Three wild card wins and three divisional
wins
rounds.
On a quarterback stat.
They always give him the quarterback. Come on, Brian. You're starting to sound like Jeremy.
There's 22 starters plus special teams.
You're right. So,
wins aren't a quarterback stat. That same thing is the reason why people were talking up Jimmy Garoppolo years ago. Oh, he wins. He's been to the Super Bowl.
Yeah. So
wins aren't a quarterback stat.
Who's the quarterback for the San Francisco 49ers?
Purdy.
Purdy, right?
Yeah.
Purdy got a contract, right? And then he get a contract extension. Why did he get that big money?
Because he's played well.
And done what?
I think he went to the Super Bowl.
Did they go to the Super Bowl?
I can't remember.
I have to go back and look.
The Colts, Niners have made it twice with Shanahan. Once was Garoppolo. I thought the second one was with Purdy. Maybe it wasn't. I don't remember.
So all I'm saying is that they pay for wins, too. That's how it becomes a quarterback stat. Like, they look at the wins, too.
They do, but, I mean, Purdy has had a better statistical season than CJ.
So now we're getting into statistics, right?
It's,
so,
I mean, it's all part of it, yeah.
Yeah, but the, but so what are you? Are you an analytical guy or are you an eye test guy?
A mix of both, I would say.
So when you – are you? Does your,
it's like eye test and back it up with the numbers.
So does your eye test tell you that CJ doesn't deserve to get paid?
Nick Caserios does because he would have done it. Look, I mean, Nick Caserios, you can't argue that Nick Caserios' MO is pay guys and pay them early.
Yeah.
He's done it countless times. Why wouldn't he do that with CJ?
Because
he doesn't believe that he's worthy of that contract.
Which means.
Yeah. I say yeah, because he could be.
Yeah.
He could go out and have a great season this year, put all doubts to bed, end up on the top 100 list again, throw Bryce Young out of the ring like a Royal Rumble, right? He could do that. But as of now, he hasn't proven worthy of that.
And if that's the case, then Nick Caserios has to take some of that blame, too. He can't just say, CJ, I'm not going to pay you because of your performance. And then CJ retorts with, well, let's talk about this offensive line that you put me in front of. Like last year, I played with a rookie left tackle on my blind side, right? I played on a rookie left tackle. I played with a right tackle who was playing left guard. The center position, we still haven't figured that out. We finally got a competent.
Maybe Keelan Rutledge.
We finally got a competent right guard. We finally got a competent right guard. And we still don't know who's playing right tackle. If you're dependent on Trent Brown, who's 100.
So it's going to be Braden Smith, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, and we still got to see how he's going to, you know, get acclimated to playing here. So if I'm CJ, I'm saying that. I'm also saying.
Well, if
hey,
I make a scenario, it's like, yeah, look at my picks of wide receivers. Look at my picks of edge rushers. Look at my picks of defensive backs.
Hold on.
Look at my picks of linebackers.
We're just talking about the offensive side because the defensive side is clearly DeMeco Ryans.
He's had one place where he's not picked well. That's offensive line.
Okay, so let me say this.
Everywhere else, Nick Caserios killed it.
Well, I mean, we're going to get into talking about wide receivers here a little bit later on, and I mean, we're going to talk about
Nico,
rookies.
Nico was a third round pick,
right? He picked Nico, right?
Third round. And Tank Dell, third round pick.
Tank Dell, we got to wait till he gets back on the
field. But you will admit that he was a good pick.
He was a good
pick. Okay, there you go.
Yeah, he was a good pick.
Yeah.
So you're not. So CJ Stroud wasn't a good pick.
He was. Yeah, I think he was a good pick.
Because
Bryce Young was off the board. Well, not that I would have taken Bryce Young anyway.
I wouldn't have taken Bryce Young.
The other, obviously, Anthony Richardson goes 4. That would have been a terrible pick. Mm-hmm. So I think Caserios made the best pick he could, but Caserios or CJ has not developed at the rate you had hoped he would after his rookie season.
So with that being said, when you look at some of these quarterbacks in the past that have turned into, we would agree that Brett Favre is a great quarterback.
I think he's overrated. But
huh?
He's great. Yeah, he's a Hall of Famer, but he's a little over. Like I think he's thrown the most interceptions in league history. He was too much of a gunslinger for me.
So if that's the case, then how do you feel about Peyton Manning? Because he threw a lot of interceptions.
I would
as well.
Put Peyton Manning over Brett Favre, but that's a fair. You make a fair counterpoint, but that was more like early Manning. Like early Manning did. He wasn't throwing. No, like so, Favre level interceptions.
Well, let's use a guy that's still in the league right now. We can't say that he's currently great, but he will go down as one of the greats. Aaron Rodgers.
What's the question?
Is Aaron Rodgers great to you?
Yeah, of course.
How long did it take for Aaron Rodgers to get on the field?
Well, because he's playing. Oh, you're making a Favre point because he's sat behind Favre for 3 years.
Right. How long did Favre have? Favre had to go to a whole other team before.
Yeah,
he
started out with Atlanta. Yeah.
Man, he had to go to a whole other team to go great. Right. So, what's that like? Neither one of those guys who ended up becoming great over time didn't start out or have the start. CJ started out right in a disenfranchised franchise, a franchise that was in the toilet.
Good word choice. I like that. Disenfranchised franchise. Okay.
That was in the toilet.
Yeah,
that was
sure.
Sinking that had coaches that were.
What we're talking about his rookie year. That doesn't matter now.
So what I'm saying is that you bring him in, right? You bring him in. You got a first-year coach, a first-year offensive coordinator, rookie quarterback, right?
Yeah.
You give him that for 2 years. And then after 2 years, right, after 2 years, he's been in the league for 2 years. You say, hey, man, we're starting this thing all over again. Guess what? We're going to fire and take that whole system that you've learned for 2 years. Throw it out the door. We don't even want it anymore. Let's bring in this fresh new system with another first-year offensive coordinator. Hey, we want you to be successful with it. I've heard of Nick Caley. I don't even know who this guy is. What is his philosophy?
He brought Sean McVay's coffee. That's what
right.
he did. That's what he did.
Right, so you bring him in now, and you want – CJ, you're going into your third year. You should be able to adjust. So my thing is, what quarterback has been successful in
Baker
his first –
Baker Mayfield.
First 4 years under
Baker Mayfield has literally had a different offensive play caller every year of his career going back to college.
Do you think Baker Mayfield has been successful?
Hell yeah, he's been successful.
Hell no.
What are you talking about?
You drank the Kool-Aid early last year,
oh,
right?
Baker Mayfield has been a successful NFL quarterback.
Look, at the beginning of the season, Baker Mayfield was black people Kool-Aid. By the end of the season,
he was hurt.
No sugar Kool-Aid. He didn't have no sugar in it.
We just found out he had a messed up MCL and PCL on the quarterback show.
CJ suffered a concussion. He had to come back and play after that concussion.
Yeah.
Which caused him to be hesitant to get out of the pocket.
Okay, but he was healed from that. Baker never healed from the MCL and PCL. He just played through it.
How often do you really heal from a concussion once you've had it?
Well, that's a problem. That's another reason not to pay him.
Because the next
if you're saying that he didn't recover from it, that's another reason not to pay him.
All I'm saying is that C.J. Stroud has been in some very adverse situations.
Of course.
And it's going into
that's life in
the
NFL,
his first
though.
3 years. And
what quarterback isn't?
So, okay, so you said Baker was successful in his first 3 years.
He had ups and downs, but he took the Browns to the playoffs.
CJ. CJ got his ups and downs.
Okay, would you say, fair, honest question. Who was coming into a more disenfranchised franchise? Baker Mayfield to the freaking Browns or CJ with the Texans?
CJ with the Texans.
No, the Browns are the worst organization in football.
The Texans hired David Culley.
I know.
Listen.
You want to pull up the Browns head coaches? I
like David Culley. I'm not going to be one of those.
Wasn't Eric Mangini a Browns coach? You want to talk about that?
Hold on.
I'm going to pull up these Browns coaches. See how many you really. Now, David Culley's definitely the worst. Of anybody we list, David Culley's the worst. But the Browns had some terrible
The only thing the Browns and the Texans have in common is.
Mr. Freaky Man. Since the 90s when Tim Couch brought
him
back.
They got Baby Towel, Deshaun Watson.
They did. Thank you, Cleveland.
Look at what CJ had to come into. He had to come out of – back to – like they hadn't even won 12 – they won a combined 12 games in 3 years before CJ got here.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
So then you think about it, right? You're talking about the Browns. You look at the Texans. From Bill O'Brien to DeMeco Ryans – that franchise was horrible, terrible. And this is what CJ came in, and in his first year, what did he do? Baker Mayfield did the same thing for the Browns.
They didn't win a playoff game, but they made the playoffs. Like, I'm looking at these coaches. Like, I'm just going from, like, semi-recent. Like, we're talking about Eric Mangini, Pat Schumer, Rod Chudzinski. I don't even remember Rod Chudzinski.
Schumer wasn't that.
Mike Pettine, Hugh Jackson. Come on, man. Jackson was a terrible coach.
Hugh Jackson was good at Cincinnati. No.
Was he?
Yes.
No, he wasn't.
He was.
You're thinking of a different coach.
Am I?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm thinking of Marvin.
Marvin Lewis. Yeah, you're thinking of a different coach.
Wait, with the Raiders, wasn't Hugh Jackson good?
He might have had one decent season. Like, they went on a run after, what's his name, died. Al Davis. But I don't think they made the playoffs. Like after Hugh Jackson, Greg Williams. Mm-hmm. After Greg Williams, Freddie Kitchens. Okay, don't sell me. Don't tell me
now
that what Baker Mayfield overcame was more was less adverse than
so
what
CJ
overcame.
Baker came.
I'll look
in,
that
who
up. I'll look that up. I'll look that up.
All right. So now, when you look at the 20, which season thing? I can't think of the actual season, but when Bill O'Brien got fired 4 games into the season, right?
Yeah, that was 2020.
2020, right?
Yeah, it was 2020.
Romeo Crennel took over.
Yeah.
Right?
Greg Williams was his coach.
Okay. Greg.
No, I'm sorry. Hugh Jackson and then Greg Williams took over.
All right. So
yeah, two coaches. See? I can even say the word.
So
disadvantageous. There we go.
But you look at CJ coming in after this franchise had Bill O'Brien who burned it to the ground. Like Bill burned it to the ground.
We agree.
Like they had to move the land in order to rebuild the Texans.
A 30 for 30 needs to be made on just what a disaster Bill O'Brien was the last 3 years.
And so then he leaves.
Yeah.
Right? He gets fired. And then you got Romeo Crennel who finishes out the season.
Yeah.
Then who comes after
Romeo? Who's also a former Browns coach.
Who comes after Romeo?
That was David Culley.
Right.
And then Lovie Smith. And now D'Amico.
Right.
They got that one right.
So what CJ did was, when you look at the Houston Texans organization, they were drowning at the deep end of the pool, and all they had was two fingers up. They only had was two fingers up, And CJ reached in there and helped grab and pull them out of the water.
Now you call him a deity? D'Amico pulled them out of the water.
D'Amico along with
Casario's drafting pulled them out of the water.
D'Amico along with the NFL Offensive Rookie of the Year pulled them out.
His rookie year was great. I'm not denying that.
Right.
But you don't pay a guy off for 1 year. That's the whole – that's why – I mean, kind of circling back to where we were before, you can't pay a guy $55, $60 million a year off of one season.
There's a lot of players. There's some quarterbacks that have gotten paid like that, right?
They shouldn't be.
But they are.
You're probably right. I've been trying to think of an example, I guess, off the top of my head. Yep. I guess Tua kind of got paid off of 1 year. Maybe Jordan Love. But those were mistakes.
Jordan Love is a good quarterback.
He's okay. He's okay.
He's a good quarterback. Like,
I mean, but paying Tua was a mistake, right?
Oh, paying Tua was definitely
you don't want to repeat that mistake.
A mistake, right?
Yeah.
And so, but I look at it like this, too. So
we don't want to talk about it, not you specifically, but people got to realize there's a lot more similarities between CJ and Tua than we want to realize. If CJ has one more serious concussion, people are going to have doubts, just like they do with Tua. You look at me like I'm crazy. CJ's had two serious concussions.
You're right.
If he has another one, are we not having Tua conversations?
Well, Tua gets those concussions because he doesn't know how to get down. CJ
didn't.
CJ.
The one he got against Denver this year, he ran the wrong way and slid all funny and got his bell rung.
He got hit before he started sliding.
Yeah, but his head was like.
He got hit from the side. He didn't even see the guy coming.
Right, because he ran the wrong way.
So he didn't run the wrong way.
Look at the play.
I'm definitely going to go.
Yeah, look at the play.
He was getting out of the pocket.
He was getting out of the pocket. He had one. I think he ran left. Left, there was defenders. Right, there was nobody, and he ran left.
But he got hit from the right side.
Yeah, but if he runs to the side where there's nobody there.
But you just said it was nobody on the right.
Yeah,
he got hit from the right.
Okay, maybe I'm flipping. I thought it was the right, but maybe it was
what
left.
Is in your cup?
Water or Everclear. I don't know. You can take a sip. Let's go to break.
Yeah, we got to take a break. When we come back, we're definitely going to finish this conversation because I honestly and truly believe that, you know, Nick Caserio is one of the reasons why C.J. Stroud hasn't gotten paid yet. We're broadcasting live here at East River 9 at the Birdies Ice House. I cannot wait to taste Caitlin's mac and cheese.
I think that's on the offering. I didn't see that on the menu.
That's an inside joke, y'all. We'll be back.